first place final authority. And I'll explain that just a little bit here in a minute. But he come in here, and about in that time I was really stirred up on. Now, I've been attacked my whole Christian life with sickness and disease and flu, and they've come up with, I mean, we're down to COVID. That I've heard it all the way. I've started noticing it. Every year something new comes out, just about. And then I have to start making vaccines for it and all that, and to combat it and all that, you know. And I just started taking notice of that. And then I started getting in the Word and hearing good preaching on it was up to me whether I walked healed or not. I always just thought it was up to God. And I'd been taught everything was up to God. But I found out through the Word that I have my own will, right? And I found out that I can fill myself up with God or I can stay full of the world. Hallelujah. Well, I began to realize that my victory wasn't up to God. I began to realize it was up to me. I began to realize that through the Word of God that Jesus went to the cross, He bore my sicknesses, took them on Himself, took all my sin on Himself, my peace, chastised my peace was on Him. He took all of that on Him and then gave it to us. Well, about that time I was preaching on, because I believe I'm not going to preach this Bible based on whether somebody died with cancer that it was a good Christian or not, and I don't understand. Right? I believe it, whether that happens or not. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it don't change, and God don't change. Well, He's sitting back there on the back, and this one particular night I remember, you know, and I'm thinking, man, he's Baptist. You know, nothing wrong with Baptists. I went to a Baptist church my whole life before I got here on and off. That's where we went. You know, but sometimes when you get into that faith stuff, they're like, you're weird. You're far out, you know. But I had to get that mentality out of me and all that. But I was preaching. I told them I'd preach the Word of God, 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Isaiah over there where it said that he took all of our infirmities and weaknesses and sicknesses and disease and took it on himself. And so then my next statement was, you know, you got to act on the Word. You can't just hear it. You got to act on it. You got to act on what you hear of the Word. Are you reading it? The Holy Spirit quickens you to it. Or you hear it through praise and worship, whatever. You got to act on it. That's right. And then you're going in faith then. Well, I made this statement. I said, well, you know, after the service, he told me, I made this statement. I said, well, you know, I said, don't, he done made his mind up. He going to quit all of his medicine because he's hearing that and he's getting stirred up. It was about two or three services he had been hearing it, you know, and he had just got stirred up on the inside. Like, God, I'm healed, you know. And anyways, I made the statement. I said he had done made up his mind that he's going to go to the doctor. I mean, he wasn't going to go. He was just going to cut off all the medicine. And so I told him, he'd tell me, and I said, no, don't do that. I said, you just keep taking your medicine. I said, you know, I said, real faith don't act weird. I said, you just keep taking your medicine. I said, but every time you take that medicine, I said, you keep your mind on Jesus, bore it for you. And I said, every time you take your medicine, and when you take it, I said, let it be a reminder of you to tell the Lord, thank you, that I'm healed because of your stripes. I said, and then you go to the doctor, and then you let the doctor confirm by the test and all that he runs, and let him take you off of it. How many knows that was just a word of wisdom at that time? And sure enough, but God, when he left here, he wasn't taking but two or three different kinds. Every time he'd go back, his report would be good. Every time, what happened? The difference is he got under the Word. He acted on the Word. Went home, took his medicine, said, I'm healed. I'm healed. Lord, you're working with this and blah, blah, blah. And you know, before you know it, people, somebody was taking and actually putting groceries on his front porch. I mean, he began to hear about John 10:10. He had read that but never heard it preached on. Been a Christian his whole life. Hallelujah. How many knows the Bible said first place and final authority? Now God really began to put that in me several years ago through somebody else. I heard it through somebody else and I thought, what does that mean? First place, final authority. He's talking about God's Word. God's word for a Christian, if we're going to walk in victory and get freer and freer, then we must put God's word first place and final authority. What that means is, when I get a bad doctor's report, they say you've got this or this is happening and this is going to happen and all of that, I take that report, I leave and I say, thank you, doctor, you know, for the report. And then I leave and I say, God, your word says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And Lord, I thank you now that I've got a name that they told me what this was. Now the Bible says, see what I'm saying? You got to go to the word of God and you let the word of God be first place. And then even if you go back to the doctor and he says it's got worse, you let it be final say, final authority. You leave and you say, I don't care what that report says, but God, I don't believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, and I'm looking for the next one to be a good report. That's what walking and acting on the word is. Acting on the word. You don't deny that things come against you. You don't deny that that's there. You know, you faith it away. No, you act on the word and you drive it out. You act on the word and you drive it out. I'm working on arthritis. Went to the doctor, went to the chiropractor, let him loosen you up, you know. I left the chiropractor. I've done it 3 or 4 times and I never, Teresa, she said, how do you feel? And I said, well, I don't feel no different. So I don't blow my money. Right? But anyhow, I went and he said, well, he said, you got some kind of arthritis. He named it, you know. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, you need to come every day. Keep her loosened up. Boy, he's a salesman. He probably means well. Now, he's doing all he can do in the natural. That's all he knows. He said, there's no cure for it. I started to preach to him, but I didn't. But I got in my truck, shut the door, cranked it up, pulled out on the road, and I said, thank you, Lord. I said, your Bible, your word says that every name, and I didn't know what it was till now. I said, thank you, Lord. And I named that arthritis. And I said, you're under my feet. I command you to loose. And I laid my hands on my shoulders. I command you to loose and let me go. Praise God. You don't belong. You are an alien in this body. This is the temple of God. The Bible says you're the temple of God. I know we hear it is, you know, don't defile the temple. We shouldn't. But sickness and disease, anger, unforgiveness, all of that, those are like cancers. All of those don't belong in our temple, in us, hallelujah. We've been free, we've been redeemed. And you know what, praise God? You got to let God's word be first place and final authority in your life. And I'm working on it. I've been walking with the Lord a few years. But I'm working on it myself. I'm working on it every day. When I get the victory over one thing, anger, well, then I stay on it. I don't let it come back. Right? That's staying active in the Word. God said in Deuteronomy 8:3, He said, Man shall not live by bread alone. This ain't in my message. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. What does that mean? We live by it. What does that mean? Jesus said it when he was up in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. He said, man shall not live by natural means, bread alone. He said, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God shall mankind live. He wasn't talking about just him. So, if God said it, and Jesus believed it, right? How much more should we? Jesus gave us a perfect example there over Satan when he comes to you and when he comes to me. When he comes to me and said, well, you know, you've been with Teresa a long time. You might be a better woman. She might not be as rough, you know, and might not. What do I do with that? That's right. I cast that thought down 2 Corinthians 10. The Bible says in there, it says that We walk not we walk in the flesh, but our weapons are not carnal. We don't act. We're not active. This carnal man's not your answer. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not man's strength. They're not man's wisdom. God says in Isaiah, I believe it's 56, he said, my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours. He said, as the snow and the rain comes down and waters the earth and brings forth bud, makes the grass grow, makes the seeds come up, makes our crops grow, right? The rain comes down, it waters the earth, and makes the seed. And then it says, it brings forth bud, and it gives seed to the sower. That's in the natural. He's talking about the natural. He said, so shall my word be that proceedeth out of my mouth. I guess that's what it says. Oh, she's got it up there. No, it ain't. That's good. He said, it will not return to me void. In other words, if I live by the word, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word. If I live by the word, he said over in Isaiah, he said, my word will not return. In other words, it's not coming in me empty, and it's not going to leave me. It's going to empty itself out in me. And then Paul said it this way. He said, Lord, your word is working mightily in me. Right? The word, the Bible says, is medicine to all of our flesh. That's why Satan don't want you coming to church. That's why he don't want you praying and fasting and reading your Bible. He don't want you. He don't want you to turn off WZZK. He or Rock 99 or whatever your secular station is that makes you feel good in the flesh. It does please the flesh. It really does, you know. But our weapons are not carnal, not fleshly, not worldly. Right? And so he tells us, come out from among the world and be separate. Don't be like the world. The world says, well, it just happens all the time. You know, I get sick, this and changes, and I get sick. Papa got sick, and it's in the bloodline. And it comes on. No, we're in the world, but we're not of it. See, everything that come down through the genes of my natural family, I come against it that is negative in my walk. Hallelujah. I always come back and say, nope, I've got new genes. That what? That royal. I'm a new creation. I'm born. What am I doing? I'm living by the word. Right? That's the way that I live and conduct. You live and you conduct. I'm not just telling you me. We all. Somebody told me the other day, said, well, you know, a lot of it's because you're a preacher. And I said, that's not right. I said, no, sir. I said, that's a call. I said, that's a call placed on me that God don't change his mind about. But that's got nothing to do with whether I've been backslid before. Right? If I was a preacher, ain't no way. See, it's got to do with my choices and in the word that I put in the word that I believe about myself, and the word that I confess. See, you got to confess out of your mouth, I'm a child of the Most High. See, the Lord spoke to him. He said, you know, he said today, he said, you are walking in my favor. He said, when you walk with me, he said, you walking in my favor. You have my favor on you. And it opens doors for you that wouldn't normally open. Let me give you a little example, you know. Travis, now he likes to work, he likes to put, he don't like going back to jobs. And so I schedule a job, you know, for 2 days or whatever. And so we get in the truck the other day. I had one over in Rainsville, and I had it figured 2 days if I needed three. They were big doors, a big job. And so I got up that morning, I said, Lord, I said, I just thank you today for your favor. I thank you, Father, for your grace today that you will help us. You'll put your super on our natural, and Lord, we will just flow, and this job will go smooth. Well, we get in the truck, and I was supposed to, I got up there and done some stuff before they got there getting ready, and I was going to get two pieces of what they call commercial angle. And I knew that I'd have to have them on this job because I have foreknowledge of the job. And so I forgot to get them. And so we get out a mile or so from the house, and I said, oh, man. I said, I was going to put that angle on here for that commercial angle, and he knows what I'm talking about. I said, well, it don't matter. I said, we'll just get it, we'll bring it back Thursday. And he looked at me and said, no, we're not going back Thursday. And I said, oh, well, glory to God then. I said, we better go back and get it. So we go back and get it, and we go, and we get on the job, and we start the job at 9:30, and we had 2 16 wide by 12 doors and a 16 wide by 10 door and 3 openers on them. That's about a 3-day job for any door company. Easy. So we started, I think it was 9 or 9:30, wasn't it? We was loaded up and leaving at 1:30. Completely done with that job. And I told Travis on the way home, I said, that was God's grace. I believed when I asked him. I wasn't saying it just because I'm a Christian. See, what am I doing? I'm believing that God's grace is on us to enable us. So I told my hand, I told that one hand, I said, hey, you know what? And he said, I said, how long would it take y'all? He worked for another door company. He said, oh, it took us about 3 days to do this job. I told him, I said, God helped us. Now, he don't really agree with that right now because he believes he's an atheist. But I'm showing him. I'm not intimidated by him being a sinner. But if we do Psalms chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that setteth not in the counsel, or don't camp out, don't feel comfortable. Some people just they're like chameleons. We can't be a chameleon Christian. Sinners like me. They really do. Sinners like me. Religious folk can't stand me. Religious people, boy, just word, word, word. They've been in church their whole life, Monty. Sick of hearing the word. Something wrong with that person. But they got to change that mentality. God's word is my lamp. The psalmist, he said, Lord, your word lets me know where my steps are. They're a light to my path. Sinners should look at us and envy us. The Bible says in Psalms over there, he said, we're put that up there, man. Psalms 1 in that AMCP, whatever it is. Yeah, it says blessed. That word blessed means happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable. Is the man, or you, put your name in here. Lord, I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I made just a little example about my brother-in-law in business. He was lost. He didn't know God. And he told us we wouldn't have a business here in Buntsville. But God had already spoke to me through praying and fasting and trying to find the will of God. How many knows you need to be praying and fasting and know the will of God? You know the will. Is man supposed to work? Well, then why are we going to be lazy? Right? We know the will of God. Are we supposed to train our children up in the way they should go? Right? Well, we got to live by the word, right? Then we act on it. I was telling somebody today, you know, but anyways, it says here, is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We came on down here, opened a business. And when me and my brother split, that business was making, it was grossing $500,000 a year. When it, right here in this building, where an ungodly man, don't mean he was a bad man, he was a good man. Just cause people's lost don't mean they're lower. They's wise people out there lost without God that makes good money, that makes good decisions, that saves, that gives. He was a giver. But he wasn't right with the Lord. But that what that means is I don't follow him. I don't care how successful he looks or is. God says, I won't be blessed. If you flip that over and you say, if I don't, what happens? It does away with happy, fortunate, prosperous, and people want to be like you. Right? And so living by the word of God, we got to let it be first place and final authority. And get up in the morning, and I mean, I'm dead against COVID for coming to me. Flu, sickness, hay season, whatever. I went down there and they run some tests and he said, well, you're allergic to cows. I said, that's not good because I got them and I'm not getting rid of them. And I thought, that's dumb. I ain't even been around them cows. I let them take care of themselves over for weeks. And then when I do go over there, drive through the pasture, there's no way I'm up there snorting a cow. Well, Satan comes and he says, boy, you better get rid of them cows. You're going to start swelling up your eyes and all of that, you know. And I mean, so when all that, so I go over to my cows and I go, what, Satan? Hey, take notice, Jack. Ain't nobody over up to cows. And cows like looking, you know. And I go, ha! I did it right in Satan's face. That report came for me to receive it. Jesus said, take no thought saying. See, when you say something, then you bring it alive, good or bad. A thought comes to you, that's why he said cast it down, right? Stop it. Tells you ain't going to be healed, stop it. Put you on some praise and worship. Get your Bible out and say, whoop, wait a minute, Satan, come on, sit down here. Sit down here. I realize it's you with these ungodly thoughts. Yeah. They're ungodly. What is an ungodly thought? Not in line with the Bible. Yeah. If it ain't in line with the Bible, it's ungodly. And you cast down those ungodly thoughts, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. What's the knowledge of God? The Bible. The Word. He brings them out of Egypt. You know, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God. You know what? I might be preaching. I mean, I've told Mac over and over, man, and he'd tell me, I don't really like to read the Bible, didn't you? And then here comes somebody in here says the same thing, and Mac's, oh God, I gotta eat the word. I gotta read the word. He's read it ever since.
Every day.
You didn't listen to me.
Every day.
It wasn't me, see. It was the Holy Spirit to make it a point. It wasn't the first time you heard that. It was the Holy Spirit brought the Word of God that had already been. That's why you need to come to church regular. Because you might hear something one Sunday or one Wednesday and it might not hit you. Then all of a sudden, praise God, for whatever reason that I can't explain, Matt's there and he says, you don't like to read. You don't like to read. And then Mac's like, oh God, nobody knows me. There's no way that he knew that. I ain't told him and he ain't been here before. Praise God. No, why? It was the Word of God that was quickened to Mac through that man at that moment that changed his life.
Yeah, that's right.
Mac went and began to act on that. Yeah. Mac could have left here and said, who does he think? He's from India.
Right.
Who does he think he? No, he didn't. He went home. Why? Because he's excited about the Lord. He feels like he reads the Bible and it goes in one ear and out the other at that time. Well, it ain't happening like that now. You're getting things. A little nugget here, a little better here, a little better there. And I mean, you can't. I mean, you know, you can't just eat steak all the time, Mac. We got to have some broccoli, Teresa says, and different things. Hallelujah. But we live by the Word of God. We let it be first place and final authority. That's why I don't listen to secular music. And, you know, I mean, and I watch movies. Teresa, she's pretty good about picking up. I mean, she said, that's rated R. We can't watch it. Rated R. Rated PG is not good for the grandkids. Some of them, it ain't rated. They ain't even rated. You sure can't watch them. They didn't even put a rate. You're like, this has got to be clean. Put it on there. Whoo, terrible. Terrible. Well, you know, I mean, I'll watch you. I mean, right now, we're just, she come in there, she said, glory to God. I said, what is it? She said, oh, I got what was it, on the TV in there, in the bedroom? Huh? Victory Channel. She finally got a Christian station in the bedroom in there, Mac. Hallelujah. Boy, I was in the bathroom, and I started to run in there and say, hey, you know what you're doing? Glory to God, you know what you're doing? But I told the Lord, I said, she's just setting us up for glory. She's just setting us up for glory. Hallelujah. We watching Beverly Hillbillies. I've watched them all 100,000 times, but it's clean. It's good. The Three Stooges, they're stupid. I mean, I'm watching that and I'm thinking, God, man, we believed this back then. It was really funny. You'd roll around the floor. Now we've advanced up here, man, and they was just the best they could do back in the 60s. They were really hilarious, but it's clean. It's good. Hallelujah. And you know what? Praise God. I don't get done and think, man, all that cussing, good God, man. See, we can't fill ourselves with this world. We can't let the world. I'm not talking about ungodly stuff. I'm not talking about most Christians that I know, they're not just writing down every sin they're fixing to commit. No, God, you understand. They don't. All the Christians that I really know that really are going after the Lord, serving the Lord, they're not planning on sinning. They're not just planning on doing it. You know? But Satan plans on tempting. Satan plans on us filling ourselves with things of this world. Pleasures. I'm talking about things that are... I'm not talking about ungodly stuff, see. He talked about the sower sows the word, and then one of the four groups of Christians there, one of them was the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Why is he talking about the word in there? We live by it. It chokes the word of God, then we don't believe for our healing. We don't stand up. We just let anything go. Went out to Travis and they was, well, the Lord told me one time, I mean, you know, he told me I wanted to hit a line of cocaine with some guys at work at one time. And the Lord told me, he said, listen, he said, how are they going to believe you if you do that with them, that you're serving me? He said, sit not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, what that means, don't do what they do. Don't talk like they talk. Don't think like they think. Not that you're better than, not that we're better than. No, we're separated from. We're set apart to the Lord. We're set apart, and this brings the glory and the favor and the blessings and the finances and the houses and the cars and the debt free. Travis just telling me the other day, he's like, I'm this much in debt, you know, and I thought, whoo, thank you, Lord, not me. Hallelujah, I don't owe nobody nothing, hallelujah. And I didn't say that, I thought, whoo. And I looked at him and I said, well, pray God, you can come out. You're coming out. Coming out. So no matter where you're at, don't say, I'm so far in debt. That's ungodly. I'm so far in debt, I'll never get out. It's not what your Bible says. The Bible says that all things are possible to those that believe. You know? But if you're just feeding on your problems, meditate on your problems, what you don't have, you're not feeding your spirit man. Feed your spirit man and you'll be like, whoo, where's it at, Lord? Where's it at? I know it's coming, but God, I might be under attack right now with sickness and disease, but this too shall pass in the name of Jesus. I'm going to come out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm not even going to have the effects of that attacked me. In Jesus' name. That's called fighting the good fight of faith. Faith is called a good fight. A guy was telling me today, he said, well, you know, there remaineth the rest for the people of God. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, and I mean it. I'm in it. Well, you know, I mean, went on to explain. I said, no. I said, I didn't cease from my own works, my own ability to take care of me, my own ability to get myself healed, my own ability to get my bills paid. I didn't cease from my works, and now I'm believing God. I said, and that's how I've entered into His rest, and I have no fear. Hallelujah. No fear. But this didn't start when I get it. Give me that John 10:10. I'm in John 10:10 now. Some of y'all are. Darcy is debt free. They are debt free. Mac. He come from losing it all, man. I mean, the dude was losing it all. Lost it all. Farm, lands, business, cocaine life, party life. He ain't been a poor man. He's been a wealthy man, a pretty wealthy man before. But the world took him down. The world and the enemy took him down. And all of that. Then here comes God. Here comes God and took a man, Bruce Dow. Took a man, Bruce Dow. God did that. God brought somebody serving him. What if Bruce would have been backslid? You know, he wouldn't have paid him no mind. He'd have been locking him up. He's stealing baloney. We don't steal. That's what he was. But he wasn't. He walking with God and had love and compassion. And then helped him and got him up, you know, and helped him not lose the little bit that he had.
And you helped too, Scott.
Well, but God. It was all God, whether it was him or whether it was me or whether it's you. It was God. It was God stepped in, however he stepped in. Why? Because he, for God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for Scotty. Yes. That if I would believe in him, and Mac would, and you would believe, that I would, but we would have ever eternal life, everlasting, not just in heaven. It says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. We don't even focus on him. We already know that. I'm come, Jesus said, that they might have life and they have it more abundantly. Now I studied that word abundantly. It means to the full, till it overflows, till nothing's missing, till nothing lacking in your life. And I read that and studied that and I thought, could this really happen to us? I preach it with boldness. I preached it with boldness when I looked like I was losing it all. I preached it, I believed it with boldness, the best of my ability. I said, I'm going to believe this, Lord, rather than anything else. You come that I would have a good life, a good marriage. I wasn't just talking about money. You know, you can be miserable and money ain't worth nothing to you. You can be broken and marriage broken up and money don't mean nothing to you. You don't feel no joy going to work to bring your honey, no bunny. But boy, when you're in that faith, it don't make no difference. But God, if you plumb broke, ain't got nothing to eat, pray God, and you got a hold of that word, and you're going to live by that word is going to abound in your life, and it's going to produce, according to Isaiah. My word will not return void abundantly to the full. See, now the first part, I done got victory over him through Jesus. And I already knew it. I knew Satan wasn't the one taking me down financially. Right? Satan can't come into my finances anytime he wants to. Right? No. He cannot. He don't have the authority over the believer, period. I have to go sign that paper. Or I have to go spend that money wrong. Right? And I can't say, Satan comes to steal. That was not Satan. That was Scotty. Right? I've never had Satan get up there in a chair with me and get a pen and put it in my fingers and hold my hand and make me do nothing. He don't have that kind of a bit. So don't even be concerned about that. If you're letting him, stop it. He says that it might have it more abundantly. And me and Teresa's hung on to that and hung on to that and hung on to that 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. We're going to have a house. It didn't come. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And I had the scripture over there where he told the children of Israel, he said, you will live in houses that you didn't build. You know where I got that? Reading that Bible. I didn't like to read either. Spelling was my worst subject. I didn't like to read nothing. That's why sometimes I have to ask Teresa how to spell stuff. I went to school. I was in there, but I wasn't in it. I was up there on the mountain or swimming or fishing or wading the creeks in school. I wanted out so bad. I wasn't in it. Well, you know what? If I'd have been in it, I might have did a little better, and I might not have been in the seventh grade with a mustache and a half beard. Well, same way out here. I can be in church, but am I in it? Am I connected? Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to serve God and willing to serve people? Am I willing? Am I willing? The Bible says in Isaiah, Scotty, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Well, what if you turn it around and I'm not willing and I'm not obedient? There's no way that I can eat the good of the land. Well, I need to live by that word. I need to be willing, and the Lord help me be obedient. I need Him to help me be obedient. But you know what? I've noticed that I'm more obedient to the Lord when I'm up in faith. When I'm up and I'm strong in my spirit, you know, I've been feeding on the word or feeding on preaching or feeding on, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Then you know, when these obstacles come up, I'll be like, glory to God. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. See, if the devil's got you convinced that he can just come to your life and do whatever he wants anytime he wants to, man, that's terrible. He's got you, he's deceiving you. He's deceiving you. The Bible says that Jesus gave us authority over all the powers of darkness. All the powers of darkness. I've got authority. Satan works for me. See, I mean, some of y'all quiet, but you don't hear that much in church. You know, should. Everything he tries to do to me, God said in Romans 8:28, before he works all things together for the good to those that are called. Right? According to, that's us. Okay. If Satan tries something, it's working to my good, according to that. See, you got to live by the word. And then tell Satan, I've told him before, I double dog dare you to try it over here at my house. He messed with this church, deceived some people one time, and I told him, I said, whatever it was, I just out loud told him, I said, you should not have did that. You should have went over yonder to those churches that ain't got no faith. Our church is called Faith Way Christian Center. Faith is the way. That's how we get our victory. The Bible says it. It says over in 1 John 5:4, he said, whatsoever is born of God, that are you born again? Have you give your heart to Jesus? Then that's you. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, our confidence in God through the word of God, that we have power over all the power of Satan. We believe that. You got to believe that. And this is the faith comes out of that word. See, that gave me faith when I found out that Jesus stripped him with all power and made a show of him openly. When I read that and I realized that, and God will quicken it to you in your spirit, I thought, Satan can't touch me. Satan can't touch my life. Now, I see him touching people all over, but it's their fault. It's their fault. I pulled over before and got out and run around and kicked Satan out of my truck and shut the door, got in, didn't have no more thoughts like that again. I plowed the blood of Jesus over this doorpost. I do it pretty often, you know. I go over there by faith, plead the blood of Jesus. You're sitting in a pleaded seat. You're sitting in a pleaded seat. All of us are sitting in pleaded seat. What does that mean? I applied the blood of Jesus to these seats. And the anointing is in this house and on this house, hallelujah. And it destroys yokes and lifts burdens. And God's word don't return void. And every time I come preach, I say, God, I need to know what you want me to preach, because I want to preach what you're saying so that it don't go empty. It goes out into all of us, and I'm going to receive it first before I go preach it. It goes into all of us, and it causes fruit to our account. It brings us higher. You know, I mean, everywhere I go, your church is going to, they're just going to come from everywhere. And I'm like, say it again. Say it again. We already know we've been calling them for 15 years. Coming from the north, south. You came here, we called you, Mac. You didn't even know it. We claimed you way before you got in that line. Hallelujah. We wanted you. We didn't even know you. Why? We were saying, God, we believe in for the ones that you have anointed and ordained to be in this church. We are laying hold of them, God. We call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I anoint the pews and I say, God, I thank you for these chairs are filled with people that love you, and that people are after your will. They want to know your will, and they're willing to act on your will when they find out your will. God, I thank you for that, God. Hallelujah. And where am I going? I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I'll just go by faith. If you don't give me something, I'm going to get up there. And you know what pleases him, Johnny? You're going anyways. You really ain't clear what you're going to do, but you're really confident that he's going to do it. And so you get up and you do it. So we live by the word of God. Here we go. I'm back on track now. The abundant. Now I'm going to tell you something. That word right there. Well, she didn't change it. But that word abundantly. You're fine, Beth. That word abundantly is in my life in its fullness. Not its fullness, but I mean, I'm not lacking. Now I need more temperance. I'm working on it. I need to hear him more. I'm endeavoring to. And I'm endeavoring to find his will, what I'm supposed to have, when I'm supposed to have it, if I'm supposed to have it. I'm endeavoring to find his will. The Bible says that we should know the will of God. Actually, Paul said, understanding what the will of God is. Every one of us needs to know what the will of God is. Where you go to church, if you're supposed to work, if you ain't supposed to work, where you're supposed to work. Praise God. Whether you're supposed to be healed or not, right? Everybody needs to know the will of God. Why? Because faith to have that begins where you know the will of God. You don't. You've got to have basis for the faith. Faith needs a base. You know, come from a base. Hallelujah. So that it can bring forth the harvest that God wants for each one of us. And you know, it's not really about, I've never pursued things. You know, I mean, I believe God for things, but I've never consciously, you know, said, oh, I'm going to quit serving God if I don't get it. If I don't get it, it's just, you know, I mean, it just wasn't meant to be and all that. Of course, I never sat under that foolishness, that foolish preaching. You never know what God might. I've heard it out there. You never know. They preached out of Job, and I never would take it. You never know. God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that's ignorance. Jesus never said it. He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And so I would tell them, man, you're making a doctrine. You're preaching that. You know, and Job was in ignorance. Job didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Job didn't understand anything too much about God. I said, but if you read the expected end of Job and look at it, I said, that's what God meant for Job to have all the time. I said, but Job went in there and got in fear and made sin sacrifices for his family. And the Bible says that the very thing that Job feared came on him. Guess what? If he didn't fear it, it couldn't have came. And then God actually chastised Job a little bit. That was a message to me when I read that, heard that and read that, you know, is don't do that. God asked Job, he said, where were you at when I said that? He was getting on to him. You know, he was kind of getting his thinking straight. Come on, man. He's probably like, I'm God. I set the moon and the stars and all of that stuff, you know. Well, if he's that God, same God to us, what can he do in our life? Nothing is impossible with God. So we live by the word of God. So you stand on the word of God. I'm going to walk in divine health. I speak it all the time, and I don't care what the doctors say. I do, but I'm in light of the word. You know, it's revelant to me. I quote Psalms 91 every day. I heard one of my brothers say one time, he said, well, I'm going to die at 67 like Daddy. I said, you better not say that again. Yeah, I said, you can. Proverbs 18:19, wherever it says, it says, death and life is in the power of your mouth, your tongue, and they that love what you're saying will eat the fruit that you'll die. They had what they said in the wilderness. You just brought us out here to die. We're going to die in the wilderness. We'd have been better off. You know what they done? Died in the wilderness. I believe they had what they said then. Because they wouldn't get in faith and follow God to the promised land. Well, I'm not going to come short on the promises, praise God. I'm going to believe God to help me. But I quote it every day over myself. I thank you, Lord, that long, satisfied life have you given me and showed me your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You got to do that. I mean, you need to lay hold of that word and say, long, satisfied. Then if your body, you feel like you can't do what you used to do, then you tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. I go in your strength, Lord. I'm strong in you according to Ephesians 6:10. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. He tells us to be that, so we just act on it. Right? We just act on it. I mean, I'm only 59. Woo! I'm catching up with old Monty. But God, I'm believing at 89 we're going to race and we'll match. We'll just match. We might not get in a full-blown horse race, but we can walk really fast. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to let those carnal thoughts get in there and say you're washed up. You're 59 already. I'm not 59 anyways, 58. You're already 59. I've heard people say, that's why don't go to Jackson, hang out with the seniors. I don't mean no ill will towards them, but good Lord, I leave there oppressed nearly. I mean, their toes hurting, the cows run over them, and you know, and I mean, they can't hold the pen anymore, and I mean, all kinds of stuff. Can't get on their tractor anymore. They're going to have an elevator. Now, they're being funny, but they're sitting there talking that stuff. Sit not in the council of the ungodly. That's ungodly. I'm not saying they're Christians or not. I can speak ungodly and be a Christian. I can say, well, yeah, you know, it's just going to get worse, but you just hang on to Jesus. That could destroy you. If I told her, you know, it's going to get worse and worse, but just hang on to Jesus. He's all you need. My pastor was preaching one time, and I'd been in the ministry about 2 or 3 years, something like that, and he's preaching, and he just made the statement. He just said, well, I've noticed that ministers that make it past 7 years, you know, they're okay. Well, gosh, I'm only 3 years into it, and I'm catching hell every which way I turn. And I left there and I thought, man, I can't make it 3 more years. That's terrible. Satan, you can't make it. You know how you feel right now. Well, I mean, sometimes you feel like you got to crawl over that line. And it ain't even a finish line. It's just a quarter mile mark. Well, you know what? I had to get a hold of them thoughts. I had to cast them down and realize that was Satan. But God, and I just started renewing my mind. I can do all things. I'll make it 7 years. I'll go past, well, I'm 33 years now. Something like that. Way past 7. I guarantee if he come to me now and somebody said, well, I've seen them make it. If they make it 35 years in ministry, they got it made. That wouldn't even work on me. Why? Because I done killed a bear. I done killed a lion. And that Philistine ain't got a chance. I'd shoot him down right quick. That's the way it is. You get skilled in, you get skilled when you exercise your senses, you begin to get skilled in the Word of God. When you act on the Word of God, the more you practice the Word of God, the more skilled you become, like Jesus was. He knew what word to speak when Satan spoke. Because he knew the Word of God. I mean, he knew the Word of God. I believe he was just all his life in the Word of God. And then when Satan would tempt him with his scripture, I believe the Holy Spirit would bring Jesus what he needed to say. He does us. You better believe it. He does. You hear him. He tells you, don't turn that TV on. You'll think that's you. Nah, man, I want to watch that. I want to watch that. Nah, listen to him. Just listen to him. You know, he'll say, don't take that. Don't do that. Do this right here. You know, he don't talk in big theological words where you can't understand it. If you understand only Spanish, you know what he's going to speak to you, not English. Holy Spirit speaks Spanish. You ever thought about it? Well, how they hear the Lord? They speak Spanish only. He's a Spanish-speaking Holy Spirit. He speaks every language on this planet. Ain't that awesome? The Holy Spirit speaks every language so he can preach the Word in every language. He can quicken the Word in every language. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't be battle-minded. Be victory-minded. Don't look at your circumstance and how you feel, even if it's been there a long time. Don't get settled into it. The Bible says, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He said, though we walk through the valley, this world's full of death, right? We're walking through this earth. He said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow, and we're the light. He says, fear no evil. He said, don't fear. Though we walk through, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm going to close with this. Back, I guess, 28 years ago, when I was reading Psalms chapter 1, he spoke to me, and he said, do not camp out in your trial. In other words, don't just settle for it. Don't just sit there and think that there's nothing you can do in this. He said, walk through. He said, I'm going to build you to where the trials will make you stronger. He uses them when we act on the Word. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I thank